Welcome to Vice Casting Couch, Season 1, Episode 24. I am Ryan, and joining me is John and Aaron, after a long hiatus. our stories today are Google cover-up and a TikTok bug. How are you guys doing today?
Ain't too bad.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
So where you been at, Aaron? How come you've been missing, bro?
Look, man, I don't need your attacks, okay?
Well, we don't need all that. Me and Ryan were just wondering if we had to do like some Liam Neeson type stuff taken, you know? Like,
well, didn't none of y'all come rescue me from where I was? I don't even want to hear it. I would have welcomed it.
We'll keep that in mind for next time you go missing. did y'all jump on the GameStop?
Well, actually, I do have a little bit of a position in there.
Oh, you tell.
Well, the GameStop is actually pretty interesting. For the uninitiated, uninformed, basically a bunch of Redditors were beating Wall Street at their own game. But there's a lot of fishy tech stuff, seeing where the Reddit went down. It went private the same day, and then Robinhood started limiting people from buying shares, but they didn't let you, they had no problem with you selling them, so like it's kind of fishy. And then the Discord also went down, so like it's just like they're trying to attack their communication pathways, and it's a little sketchy. But
interesting, so that actually ties in with one of my stories that I have about the Google cover-up. So this is about Google. It told its scientists to this is from Reuters. Is it Reuters or Reuters?
It's Reuters, isn't it?
Is it Reuters? I don't know. Maybe it's just a pronunciation thing. But anyway.
Yeah, tomato, tomato. You
know? Yeah, potato, tomato. So they told their scientists to strike a positive tone in AI research. So basically, there's a bunch of scientists that they hire that, you know, go through their AI and, you know, write research papers, get them peer reviewed, all that sort of stuff. But basically, they were starting to come out with more negative stuff because Google's AI is... it's kind of discriminatory towards certain like peoples and languages and stuff like that. And Google basically was like, all right, we're going to put out this paper that handles sensitive topics, and we're going to do a review of everyone's papers before they get published. And if we don't like it, we're basically going to take it out. So they launched this sensitive topics review and requested that authors refrain from casting Google in a negative light, which is kind of fishy. Google's new review procedure asked the researchers to consult with legal, policy, and public relations teams before pushing topics such as face or sentiment analysis and categorizations of race, gender, political affiliation. Google made some fluff statements saying that advances in technology are so complex and sometimes our results can be misconstrued as being offensive and blah, blah, blah. They also said a senior manager told the people on his staff to take great care to strike a positive tone, basically or else. And I say or else because scientist Timit Gebru, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but they got fired after she questioned an order not to publish a research paper claiming that Google, their AI, mimics, the one that mimics speech could be disadvantageous to certain populations. Google said it accepted and expedited her resignation, and that's all they said about it. Google Senior Vice President Jeff Dean said in a statement this month that Gebru's paper dwelled on potential harms without discussing what Google was doing behind the scenes to fix the problems that they had. So Reuters, they got a copy of the sensitive topics that Google wants to stray away from. And among them are the oil industry, China, Iran, Israel, COVID, home security, location data, religion, telecoms. Basically, a whole laundry list of stuff that if you cast Google in a negative light concerning these, Google was just not going to publish it. And if you pushed back, you were basically fired. So I thought that was kind of interesting, especially in light of actually just yesterday I was watching a video by Oki's Weird Stories on YouTube. He's a really good researcher. And he was actually going into the Alex Jones thing, like they're making all the freaking frogs gay, like that whole thing. Yeah. And because Alex Jones was supposedly he was correct in what he said. He just kind of came across as, you know, kind of a meme. But he was going into Syngenta, which is a pesticides company. And they basically, after this guy published his research, Tyrone Hayes is the researcher. He basically said that this company was you know, putting stuff in the water that wasn't healthy for people or the ecosystem. And this company tried to destroy him. He eventually went to court with them, and they found all these notes that Syngenta had written down. Basically, they were going to go after his wife. They were going to go after like his whole family, and they were going to try to basically destroy this guy. And I find that very interesting because it seems like Google's kind of doing the same thing, even though maybe not as aggressive as you know this other story. And I'll put that video by Oki's Weird Stories in the description because it is a really interesting story. But I don't know, it just kind of goes back to what I've said before about companies only look after their bottom line. Even though there is a lot of good that can come out of AI, as we've seen, it's very helpful, but it can also make companies do crazy things if it affects their bottom line, if people are saying negative things about it. But I thought it was pretty interesting.
I wanted to quickly touch on that Alex Jones part you mentioned. Not trying to get political or anything, but Alex Jones was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and on the podcast, he was making claims, but they're like, all right, Alex, we know you're like getting all fired up, but let's actually fact check it.
Yeah.
And like 9 times out of 10, this man was actually right. It's just how his presentation was.
Yes. Yeah. He comes off as a crazy person.
Exactly. And it doesn't help when he's like, I ain't going to lie, I'm a little bit, you know, special. We'll just use that. Not trying to get demonetized.
I mean, not that we're monetized anyways. But yes. Yeah, I definitely agree. He comes off as an insane person. But yeah, 9 times out of 10, he is kind of correct in what he's saying, even though it's maybe not as correct as he's yelling about. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. And I just watched that video and then I read this article. This article came out, I believe, about a month ago. So it's not super new, but I thought it was interesting enough to bring up. And it was just kind of very relevant that I was watching these videos and kind of looking into, you know, corrupt business practices behind the scenes and trying to, you know, slander certain people and stuff like that might hurt their bottom line. And then Google seems to be doing the same thing here, firing people over, you know, a negative research paper, the very reason that they hire these scientists.
And I just want to make sure I understand this, but you're saying their AI is racist, essentially?
Yes. So their AI, I mean, okay, allegedly, according to the research papers that were coming out, like this scientist Gebru, she was basically writing a paper saying that Google's AI made some disadvantages for certain populations because it either didn't translate correctly or maybe this is in a law enforcement, you know, facial recognition capacity. I don't know. I don't know the exact instance that she was writing about. Because obviously Google stopped it from being published. But she did say afterwards that she was fired because of that, that she said, okay, your AI has a bunch of issues. This is what I'm going to publish so far about the issues. And Google was like, no. We'll fix that. We'll fix it behind the scenes. You're not publishing anything that puts us in a negative light. But yes, basically it for categories including race, gender, and political affiliation, it seems to be a little, it's not unbiased, I guess.
So racist.
If you want to say that, then yes, Google's AI is racist.
I think what you're saying is the definition. Like, I could be mistaken, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if a machine can be racist. Obviously, code is written by people, and if, you know, people have certain leanings, you could see it going that way.
That's always been a type of issue, because most of this technology that we develop, especially for, like, you know, voice recognition, is built around, like, the English language.
Yeah.
I mean, people have always said, like, oh, hey, these, you know, like, voice translators are racist. And it's like, well, I mean, the tech hubs are in the U.S., not everywhere else. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can kind of see. I don't know. Google's such a multicultural company. I think that'd be a little difficult.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And that's why I kind of I'm wary of throwing around the term racist.
Yeah, but I don't think racist.
Their AI definitely has issues, but Google doesn't want those issues to be known. They don't want any negative press. They don't want any negative light, which is pretty disingenuous, especially when you hire a team of scientists and say, hey, you know, write papers about our stuff, but only write the positive stuff. It just seems like I mean, I don't know if there's something else going on that Google doesn't want out, or Google just doesn't want the bad press because they have so many legal battles that they're fighting right now. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I just thought it was interesting and just to throw it out there.
All right.
What do you got on TikTok?
Oh yeah, so long. So TikTok actually, they had a bug that could be exploited, get access at people's like profile data and specifically their phone numbers. So cybersecurity researchers on Tuesday, they disclosed a bug that is now patched about TikTok, and it was exploiting the Find Your Friends features, which allows you to sync your contacts. And then, like, if the other person has their phone number attached to their account, it'll be like, oh, hey, here's this person. Well, normally this is capped at about, 500 contacts? But they were actually able to manipulate the HTTP request to get past that limit. And then you can essentially just brute force every phone number out there and get access and, like, correlate, okay, this contact has this phone number, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Oh. And this is actually interesting because a while back, Facebook had a similar thing like this. And, you know, it's meant to make it easy for users when they first join. They can add all their friends with their phone numbers and everything, but has been exploited. And TikTok actually has a bug bounty partnership with HackerOne. So they released this in October. And so if users or security professionals find something concerning or a bug or something like that, they can actually send it to TikTok. And their eligible payout is anywhere between $7,000 to about $15,000.
Wow, so TikTok is actually doing something good.
Yeah, with the bug bounty part, you know.
With the bug bounty, yeah. I don't know why more companies don't do that. I don't understand. I mean, maybe there's something I'm not understanding about it, but it just seems like you would always want, you know, have some sort of bug bounty that you can, you know, be brought up to the company before someone exploits it. But,
well, a lot of companies, they don't really care for it because they have closed source software anyway. So they don't want you looking for them necessarily. Like, you know, they don't want anyone looking into their base code or, you know, it's prevented in some sort of way. But I believe a lot of the, like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but a lot of the larger social media platforms actually use a lot of open source technology. So you can actually go on their GitHub, look at what they have, and then you can actually submit bugs that happen and a fix for it as well. So it makes it a lot easier.
Well, it really depends on the company. There's a lot of closed source companies that have bug bounties, like Apple. Their whole iOS is not open source at all, but they have bug bounties. And I think it is a good step because it actually encourages and incentivizes security professionals to find these bugs and send them to the company and get them fixed. And you get a little payout in the end, and it helps everyone out, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, people that have these skills and stuff, you might as well put them to use and give them a little, you know, incentive to try to find bugs. Because, I mean, as we've seen, there's, you know, dozens of companies that get hacked every year. Personally, I think a lot of it could have been mitigated if people had the incentive to try to look into their software to try to hack it so that they could cover the bug before they, you know, get exploited.
Exactly. One thing I forgot to add about the TikTok thing is once you do match a contact with their phone number, it does show you their profile name and their photo and some other profile information. So it allows you to, like, gather more when you just brute force with just phone numbers and allows you to, like, gather information on people.
So. Gotcha. Okay. So it's more than just your, you know, they found your phone number and they can, like, prank call you. It's they can gather more than
yeah, so like with a profile photo, if it's of your face, there's actually some open source facial recognition software that'll search on other social media websites, and you could, like, for instance, combine these two and then be like, okay, I got their phone number, I got their photo, and then you start digging around elsewhere on the internet using, like, open source intelligence, and you can just essentially dox this person with little effort.
That's interesting, because there was that Find My Friends thing on TikTok was also allegedly exploited when TikTok first started. Allegedly, it was exploited by, like, predators and pedophiles who were trying to find, like, kids and stuff like that. Because it basically allowed you, anyone in your proximity, in your area, if they had share location on, they could see exactly where you were at any time, even if you weren't, like, friends with them or following them or whatever. And it was kind of I don't know if it was a bug, because they did fix it eventually. They changed it. But apparently that was used nefariously as well. So maybe don't use TikTok.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I would say most social media is probably a little dangerous, to be honest with you. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, there's always risk involved with, you know, putting your information online. I mean, there are certain ones that let you put as little as you want on there, which is nice. But, like, you know, Facebook or TikTok or whatever, you have to have some sort of, you know, you got to put your email, you got to, you know, upload a picture or whatever. And some sites even have you upload a picture and it has to be of your face. there's alternatives out there that let you put less.
Well, and also they're owned by China, so.
Well, yeah, that they. that's another downside, I guess.
That is pretty bad.
Yeah. Were you saying that Discord is also owned by China, John?
Well, so Tencent actually owns a share of Discord, I think around 10 or 15%, something like that.
Gotcha.
Tencent's a Chinese company.
Yeah.
And so people are saying China could influence certain Discord actions.
GameStop stocks.
Well, I don't, if I was China, I'd be like, let's go. Like, yeah, take these hedge funds down, I don't know why they would care.
I mean, yeah, I'm just joking.
But
all right, you guys have got anything else?
Yeah, so join us next week on our new Device Casting Couch episode. Hopefully Aaron will stick with us and not disappear again. And make sure to like and comment and subscribe. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, I'm about tired of being attacked by you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.